Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know.
Hello, shoppers. Welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show for Saturday, September 11, 2010. Good morning. My name is Johnny Wright. So good to have you aboard this morning. Thank you for waking up, tuning in to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. Just past 8 o'clock this morning, great weather forecast for the weekend. Iowa State, you've got the clash of the major college teams in Iowa coming up this afternoon. That's always a lot of fun, great rivalry. The DOT says they've suspended all of the construction stuff going on along I-80 to accommodate drivers. I have a quick story I'll tell about going to the Iowa State game a few years back and how the bus driver lost control of the bus. It wasn't terribly funny at the time, but we'll get to that coming up. Also sort of a somber day, of course, as we celebrate the 9th anniversary. Can it be 9 years ago that the jets were flown into the Twin Towers at the World Trade Center and they were brought down and we were forever changed? It has changed everything, particularly retail. A lot of economists believe we've never recovered from that fateful moment, and it may possibly be the case. Our economy struggles, of course. We're trying to make it out of with the quote-unquote recovery as that continues on. But how does customer service play into that? It's always been an important part of retail, and that's what all this show is about, the Unsecret Shopper. Also, you can go to theunsecretshopper.com. That's the blog. That's the blog I write. It was the impetus for this radio show. They're all interconnected. And for the training program that I have in the company called the Biosphere, which is B-U-Y-O-S-P-H-E-R-E. All the details are right there. Coming up on the radio program, Chris Coleman, smart cookie. He's also the president of the Iowa chapter of the Better Business Bureau. Talk about doing business in a better way. We're going to talk to him about that, what it takes and how customers look at the BBB as a place if they have an issue or a complaint. But also, you'll be surprised, I think, about how business owners look at it as a place to really shine and those combinations. The BBB is sort of a mediator of sorts, and Chris talks more about that. Also, Kim Newman. She is the owner of Newman Research Consulting. One of the most interesting and things that I'm just starting to get into are focus groups. We started to organize those with the Biosphere, and Kim has been doing this a long time. She's a research person. She's worked for Meredith and the Des Moines Register and Levi Strauss. So we're going to tap into her brain and her acumen about focus groups, what it takes, what it means, what does the information do for business owners, and maybe what some of the biases are that moderators can direct or not direct questioning and how they sort of try to avoid that, of course. Also, and I know you've been wondering about this, who provides the better customer service, Cy or Herky? And we're going to break him down according to the four pillars of great customer service that I teach at the Biosphere. And you know what? There will be a winner at the end of that competition. So you'll definitely want to stay tuned for that. And weather forecasts. Well, this is just, it's boring, and we dig this kind of boring. Sunny and breezy today after quite a bit of rain yesterday. 73 dries us out on our way to the game in Iowa City. Please do drive carefully or watching it tailgating and or at a bar or in your car or just sitting at home. Whatever you're doing, hope you enjoy. Or maybe just ignoring it. I got other stuff, Johnny. I got time for this game stuff, but whatever you're doing. 73 beautiful degrees today. Tonight we drop to 56. And then the first full weekend of the NFL, National Football League, Sunday, a full slate of games. I know where I will be. Yes, in front of the TV. 81 in sunshine for Sunday. 79 back to work on Monday and still remaining dry. No chance of rain until Wednesday next week. We are at 61 degrees. Well, here's a little trivia question for you. See if you know the answer to this. What do Walmart, Target, and Kmart have in common? You're right. All three started in 1962. Isn't that interesting? Does it seem to you as it does to me that one of those stores seems a little older than the other two? Yeah, and I'm talking about Kmart. Seems like it's been around longer, but the truth is that they were both founded and started the same year, 1962. All three also play in the same sandbox. What is that sandbox? Big box retail. That is general merchandise, clothes, and toiletries and laundry detergent and interesting glasses and china and silverware stuff and food and dog food and just about just general. Boy, if you need it, you can probably get it at one of those three stores. And, of course, inexpensively, that's the key. Lots of stuff, low price, that's the key, and locations. And Kmart has a lot of locations. In fact, when Sebastian Kresge started Kmart, and he was a visionary, this guy knew retail up and down, sideways. He started out selling pots and pans at the turn of the 20th century, actually. That's how he, in a Pennsylvania farm kid, got his start and sort of school of hard knocks. But it took him quite a while to invent Kmart. It took him 60 years. In fact, it was started, and then he died about 5 years later. So he really never got to see the true success and magnitude and impact that Kmart would have from a retail standpoint. First store was opened in Dearborn, Michigan. And Sebastian was also a philanthropist. $60 million he donated throughout his life. So a wealthy man, but he gave it away, which is awesome. Kmart once had 2,000 stores across the country. And that was substantially diminished in 2002, a threshold year, a watershed year, I mean, for Kmart, when they declared bankruptcy. And the stores had been slipping and had not been kept up, and Walmart, Target had sort of passed them by. And so that slashed the number of stores by a third, and it slashed their payroll by about a fourth. So really cut back, and their impact now is really diminished. You would say that they're probably the third, and they are actually, the third largest retailer after Walmart, of course, number one, and Target number two. But good news for Kmart, relatively good news, that the sales in the first three quarters of 2010 have risen modestly each quarter. They merged with Sears as well in 2004, and that's probably helped them, I would think, although Sears has their own issues, and those both those companies do continue to struggle with a struggling economy. What do we and what should we expect in the form of customer service from the Kmarts and the Walmarts and the Targets of the world? They're big box stores. They typically are in excess of 100,000 square feet. Some are even larger. They typically have staffs that have been cut back, reduced. You're asking a small workforce to cover a huge amount of space. Well, we may not expect much necessarily, but we have to remember something. Kmart and Walmart and Target didn't start out with average to poor customer service. That wasn't the concept. It wasn't the way the stores were started. In fact, I'd bet my bottom dollar that if you could go back in time to 1962 and visit the Kmart, the first one in Dearborn, Michigan, you probably would have been glad-handled as you walked through the store as a shopper. You probably would have been engaged. People would have smiled at you, the employees. Sure, they were happy to have a job. They were happy to serve. Would have maybe even shaken your hand, looked you in the eye. Who knows? But my guess is that the level of customer service in that store, that first store, was exceptional. And it was exceptional by design. And there's a reason it was exceptional by design. And that's first and foremost because the name of the founder was on the name of the marquee, Kmart. Sebastian Kresge. The K is his last name. And the amount of pride that goes into building a company and creating an empire when your name is on it. Sam Walton, you suppose he has a little pride, had some pride? Sure, in the Walton family, yeah, it's Walmart. It's right up there. It's my name. I mean, if I had Wright toiletries and floor polish empire, you know, I'd say, wow, you know, we have to run this really well. Has to be done really well. Has to be a great customer service. But what happens, inevitably, is that as business owners build their business, whether it's a single standalone mom-and-pop place or whether it's an empire of thousands of stores, what inevitably happens is that the idea that started it and the enthusiasm and the energy and the love that went into it with the founder and the founders diminishes as each store, as each employee is hired, as each store is built. I talk about it in training as business owners looking for clones of themselves and eventually getting faded copies with each circle of employees they hire and each store they build. Well, how faded were the copies and the customer service at one of our own Kmarts in the Des Moines area, 7501 Hickman Road? And the purpose of this review I'm telling you about is that every week I randomly secret shop a business or business category in Des Moines and I post it on my blog. You can read that blog at theunsecretshopper.com. There have been over 20 reviews since I started the blog back in January. Stores like Walmart and Target, mom-and-pop stores, smaller interstate battery. Well, that's not a mom-and-pop, interstate batteries. All right, there's the come-and-goes and the Casey's of the world. There are smaller stores. There's Costco's. But, a lot of large retail stores are included. Carl Chevrolet, a mom-and-pop, but certainly a large mom-and-pop outfit. So Dahl's Foods, Hy-Vee are in there. You can go again and read a lot of those secret shopper reviews. And what do I look for when I secret shop these stores and Kmart's and everywhere else? Well, I look for what I call the five pillars of great customer service, or what I teach with the Biosphere. Those will include smile, greet, engage, thank, and follow up. Simple things, not rocket science, but important reminders that we are servants. I believe all of us are servants, whether we're in a retail setting, whether we're at home, personal setting, that we are on this earth to serve others. It is the greatest good we can possibly serve, to put ourselves second and someone else first. That is quite a challenge sometimes, particularly a challenge with employees who may have personal issues. Personal issues at home.
The car payment. I missed the car payment. Oh, the milk is sour. And the dog keeps barking. Oh, my feet are aching like crazy. I'm just in a bad place. Nobody's mowed the lawn. It's muddy. It's raining.
This litany of personal, this thousands of little things that can weigh down on us. Personal stuff. It's tough to go into the workplace sometimes and say, "Hey, welcome to Kmart. My name's Johnny. What can I help you with?" You know, when you got all this stuff, it's a real challenge. But you know what? As customers, here's the secret. You and I, as shoppers, we don't really care about their personal stuff that they bring in with them, right? I mean, we go shop because we want to be in our personal place. So I call it our I, who we are, our more selfish part. We got money to spend. We got time to spend. We want to do it. We want stuff. The other part of that is, most of the time, we don't shop very happy. We shop because we need something. There are those shopping sprees we go on, like today, for example. If you go into grocery stores today, on this day, you're going to see a lot of smiling faces, a lot more than you would normally see. In fact, just do an experiment. When you go shopping today, look at the people around you, not just the shoppers, but the employees. Look at their faces. You're going to see twice as many smiles as you ever see normally in retail setting. Why is that? One reason, it's the weekend. Yeah, people are happy. It's Saturday. Woo, woo, day off. Oh, yeah, I got money. I got paid on Friday. Just got paid. Other thing is that you've got the Iowa State game, which is a big deal to a lot of people. And it puts them in a place where they're happy. They know they have something to look forward to, whether they're an employee or a customer. So everybody's in a much happier place. So you're going to get a lot more glad handling, a lot more smiling, a lot more friendliness. Well, the key is, how do you replicate that when there isn't an Iowa State game? When it's a Tuesday afternoon and not a Saturday morning? Well, that's the big question. That's the great challenge that retail establishments have, because as customers, we want that. I don't know if we expect it, but we deserve it. So the secret shopping experience at Kmart was on a Tuesday. I visited twice, and as I always do, I dressed up. The first trip through, I don't think I had the tie on this time. I dressed relatively nicely. And then the second time, kind of the old slob, I just rolled out of bed, wrinkled look. Just in the ideas, are people going to engage me differently because of what I wear? Interesting results. I'll get to those in just a minute. But a large retail area at the store at 7501 Hickman Road, which is the largest Kmart of the three remaining Des Moines area Kmarts, and they're responsible for doing a lot of stuff, stocking, cleaning, organizing large areas. So how do they find us shoppers? Well, that's really not the question, I don't think. I don't think we expect to be in aisle 9 when there's 39 of them, and then we can see 10 people on the floor. We're looking at rugs, and we're trying to decide, do I go with the chartreuse throw rug or with the lime green wall thing? You can tell I don't shop for carpeting. And we don't necessarily expect, particularly in a setting like Kmart, to be just people just swarming us and glad handling us. We kind of get the deal. It's a lot of space, small staff. So that part of it, I think, in that setting, is forgivable. What is not forgivable is how those employees handle us once they find us or we find them. Therein lies the great customer service question. As I shopped them twice on a Tuesday, once dressed up, once dressed down, once early afternoon and once late at night, the trip through during the day was less than memorable. Peter, the pharmacist, asked, "Can I help you?" right out of the gate, first person to engage me. That's a closed-ended question. That is anathema to retail. It ends our... Listen, when people are asking us closed-ended questions like, "Can I help you?" when we're in a store and we're clearly in a position where we want to be helped, my belief is that it reduces our likelihood of spending money by about 20%. We'll walk out of there having spent 20% less than we might normally have had they asked the correct question, the maximized question, and that is, what can I help you with? Welcome to Kmart. What can I help you with? I'm here as a servant to you to help you and engage you. Now, tell me what I can help you with, and I'm going to help you. That's not what happened at Kmart in either visit through the store. Peter asked, "Can I help you?" Didn't thank me as I left, didn't smile. Ron in Home Electronics said a nice hi and smiled as he passed by me in the aisle. But later, as I shot big screen TVs, he was 5 feet behind me, 6 feet behind me, and ignored me the entire time. 15 minutes of browsing 20 big screens, and Ron never said a word. And we were the only two people in that section the whole time. Moving on to the clearance section, there were two riding mowers on the floor. I sat in them, looked at them. Ginger was in that area and ignored me, said nothing to me, probably 12 to 15 feet away. I finally engaged her. She got a manager. I was asking this particular question about a mower that she didn't know the answer to. Although she did, she really tried to answer, did a really nice job once I actually got her to engage me. Chris, a store manager, came over to that area, completely ignored me. And she was easily within 10 feet of me, watched me bounce from mower to mower. This is after Ginger had left the area. And then Ken Pleak, the store manager, came up to me without saying hi or greeting or engaging or smiling. And so the issue at Kmart, we probably have to look at the top first, the leader, the person who's leading, carrying the flag, overviewing, oversight over everything. You want to know if a store is healthy from a customer service aspect, find the store manager, find that person, and watch them. If they seem stressed out, frowning, in a bad place, rushing around, not engaging people, you can bet your bottom dollar that the rest of their staff are probably doing the same. In Ken's case, that was the case. Later on, Brian gave me a very nice smile in the toy aisle, but then ignored me for 10 minutes while I browsed that same aisle within 10 to 15 feet of him. I went over and looked at diapers, because at that point, frankly, I needed one, where Tina, within an arm's length of me, ignored me while she stocked the shelves and I looked at diapers. How does that happen? How do people ignore people? Listen, if someone's standing inside your house, you know, and they're 3 feet away, you're probably going to say, "Hello, can I help you?" And it's closed-ended, but listen, it's your house. You make the rules. I'm in the little boy's pajamas. I'm looking at pajamas. I'm shuffling through the rack. Muriel was stocking 4 feet away from me and said nothing for 5 minutes. How does that happen? It shouldn't. Karen was a hero. She was a stud at the checkout counter. I'm 15 feet away. She says, "Hey, how are you? Come on over here. I got an empty checkout area." Smiling and engaging. Did a fantastic job. And Karen is tall. What a great boy. Listen, I'm a shrimpy little dude. I'm 5'9 in high heels. But Karen, she's 6 foot plus, and she, what a great advantage that is. She was awesome. Dynamite, very engaging. So that's the day staff rundown. Quickly, the night staff was better. The night staff dominated compared to the day staff at Kmart. Will, in big screens, was awesome. Totally engaging. He explained stuff, smiled, thanked me, looked me in the eye. Great job. John, not so good in kitchen linen. As I browsed 5 feet from him, he ignored me for the 5 minutes I did so. But Knitten, or Knighton, N-I-T-I-N, I apologize, mispronounced. He was fantastic. Just like Karen, I was 15 feet away from him, and he said, "Hey, how are you?" He looked up from what he was doing, he turned to me, and he said, "How are you?" And I was 15 feet away, and he continued that engagement all the way towards him. Awesome. And then a familiar face walked past, head down, turned away from me. That would be the manager, Ken Pleak. All right, considering the tradition that he had said earlier in the day, shame on you, Ken. Bad job. Bad job out of you. Doggone it. I know you got a lot of stuff on your mind. Maybe the store is struggling. I don't know. I'm just guessing. You're busier and all get out, but you can't do that. The stuff isn't important. Without the customers, the stuff is meaningless. It means nothing. And that's the lesson you have to teach your employees. Other lessons were apparent throughout the store. The most important one was the last one. At 9:45, store closes at 10. At 9:45, in the home electronics section, the lights began to dim. I was thinking, okay, was it like a power outage or something? No, because within 10 seconds of that, a voice came on that said,
"Attention, Kmart shoppers. The time is 9:45. We'll be closing in 15 minutes. You probably got that hint because we're actually shutting the lights off while you're still in the store. Do you feel real secure at 10 o'clock at night in a particularly empty store where we're shutting down the lights? Hope you can make your way out. Hey, if you're back in the flashlights, you may want to grab one."
So, anyway, a bad ending to some good, heroic efforts going on in that store at Kmart, but some employees who really need to up their game, and some management who needs to make some tough decisions about their staff. And then that's unfortunate, but it is true, and none more so than Ken. 821, the Unsecret Shopper radio show. If you have feedback for me, you can go to theunsecretshopper.com. There's email, Facebook, Twitter. I'm all over there, even a cell phone number. I'd love to hear back from you. Coming up, Chris Coleman. He is the president of the Iowa chapter, the Better Business Bureau. Going to talk about what they do for customers and business owners alike. Fascinating story. You won't want to miss it next here. The Unsecret Shopper radio show on 1350 KRNT. Welcome back to the Unsecret Shopper radio show on 1350 KRNT. It's 824. My name is Johnny Wright. Glad to have you aboard this morning. As we work our way towards the big game, Iowa versus Iowa State, Cyclones versus Hawkeyes, second head coach Paul Rhodes versus veteran Kirk Ferentz, who'll win the Battle of the Trenches?
Well, I think on offense, Iowa has the edge, but defensively, blah, 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 blah.
You can get the talking heads up and down the radio dial, I understand that, but right here you get all about retail. We're going to compare Herky versus Cy with the five pillars of great customer service. We'll see how they stack up, one bird versus another, and who wins in the end. We'll get to that also. Kim Newman will join us later in the program, owner of Newman Research Consulting, about focus groups. Very interesting science. No matter what colors you fly this morning, fly them proud, and please be safe if you're driving to the game or wherever you happen to be going. And wherever you happen to be shopping, as a shopper or a business owner, there is one organization that has been around a very, very long time whose design and whose motto and whose mantra is to help us as consumers and business owners get along better. Because inevitably, when we shop, we're going to have issues. Promises that companies make are not going to be upheld. Our expectations won't be met. Or maybe we're not being fair as shoppers to business owners. Certainly it happens. One organization has been in the center of that for a very long time. It is the Better Business Bureau. The president of the Iowa chapter is Chris Coleman, and he joins me this morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on this morning. And Chris, how did you get involved with the Better Business Bureau?
Well, you know, I've always had an interest in some of the business associations in our state, worked at a couple over my career and been involved in some industry groups. The Better Business Bureau, while you think of it as the place to file a complaint, we're actually a business association of business leaders that believe that an honest and ethical marketplace is the best way to grow Iowa's economy.
And so is this, I'm going to ask the dumb question, but it's a political season. Do you run for office? Do they say, "Hey, Chris, can you do it?" And you say, "Sure, yeah." How did that work?
Well, there's two levels of leadership in the organization. I'm a full-time staff person, so I'm hired by the board of directors. And the board is an election. You have to be an accredited business of the Better Business Bureau, a member, if you will. And that the membership elects about 35 board members from around the state, and then that board elects the chairperson. This year, the chairperson is Sam Gelb from the Graham Group, which is a construction company and property owner, property management company here in Des Moines.
When we say Better Business, and I don't know all the history of the BBB and how it was founded, but what are we talking about? What do we mean by Better Business?
Well, we're looking for businesses that have a proven track record that that they've done the right thing by to their customers, that they advertised honestly and fairly, and that they've agreed to work with the Better Business Bureau as a third-party entity to try and resolve real difficult disputes that they might have between, you know, that a company might have with one of its customers. The Better Business Bureau, you ask, you know, you don't know the background. Let me quickly tell you that we were founded almost 100 years ago. The federal government passed a law called the Pure Food and Drug Act, and they went and they filed a lawsuit against a company in the southeast part of the United States that they thought was exaggerating the benefits of this tonic that they were selling all over. And it turned out that the federal government was correct in some ways, and they were required through this court case to modify their advertising. Well, the company was Coca-Cola, and a young executive there wrote for Coca-Cola the Ten Commandments of Advertising. Now we call it the Truth in Advertising Code. And he went on to lead Coca-Cola and found the Better Business Bureau in that process. And we started by trying to crack down on companies that advertise dishonestly, and it's grown into making sure that, you know, that people stand by the promises that they make in their advertising, you know, that they have good customer service, that their products are of high quality, that they'll repair and stand by warranties and guarantees. And so we try and make sure that they follow through with everything that they advertise and say that their product and their service will do.
Well, that's at the foundation of my company, the Biosphere, is live up to the promise of your marketing. And, of course,
yeah.
for some businesses, that is relatively simple. For others, it's not so much. And for those that maybe don't, customers look at the Better Business Bureau, I think, as a way to express the difference between the promise and the reality. What sorts of calls, what sorts of emails do you get, Chris, about that end of it?
Well, we'll get everything from people wanting advice because they got a check in the mail and they've been lied to by some international marketing company that's trying to lure them into, you know, a secret shopper experience. I'm not saying that about your company,
sure,
of course, but, you know, the kind of, here's a check up front, go deposit it and send us money back. Kind of work-at-home schemes, all kinds of things that are involved in that. And so we get calls all the time where people want our advice. But most of the calls that come in is they call and they say, listen, I'm having a problem. We hired a guy to do our roof. And, you know, in June it sure looked like it was all fine. But now I have a leak and my neighbor is a former roofing guy. And he says that, you know, it wasn't done right in the peak. And the company won't come back and fix it. And we don't know what to do. So we ask them to tell us their story in writing. And then we share that written story with the company and we ask for their side of it. So we're never involved in a he said, she said. And then we kind of, you know, mediate that dispute a little bit, send information back and forth, try and get them to understand the other person's perspective. And then the BBB, if the company and the consumer can't resolve it, then we make a recommendation. And if the company won't do what we suggest, or the consumer doesn't like what we suggest, that process then dings them, you know, gives them a negative mark on their BBB report. We have a report on 15,000 Iowa businesses and more than 4 million businesses around the country. And those reports all kind of detail the experience that the Better Business Bureau has had with them, and it gives them a letter grade based on all that experience. So a company can earn an F or earn an A, depending upon the kind of calls that we've gotten.
Well, that's what's so extraordinary about what you do at the Better Business Bureau, because as mediators, as you know, Chris, on the front lines, there are simply people who are chronic complainers. In fact, the Internet in many ways is sort of a cauldron for people's misery, I think, and sometimes. And
great point, Johnny. It is very much that way.
And so with you in the middle, what a great perspective you can, because there are two sides to it. It isn't just, I went in, they screwed me over, I walked out, and they're terrible, and I'm never never going back. There's always that other piece of it, and how great that you exist as a resource for people to sort of figure out if there is a middle ground. Well, then the question becomes, is there more often than not a middle ground? Is there typically an agreement that can be come to on some level?
Well, yeah, you know, there is, and way more than half of our complaints in the end are classified in one way or another as resolved. You know, the company's made a good faith effort, or in our mind, they have proven with documentation and shared us some things that support their case in it. So, you know, a lot of the complaints that come in don't end up dinging, don't end up hurting the reputation of the company. I go out and I talk to a lot of groups around the state, and almost always, you know, one of the first questions are, you know, what's the scam that you deal with the most? And the truth is, and I don't mean to be judgmental this way, but the truth is the scam that we deal with the most are consumers that want something for nothing.
Right.
You know, want to turn a mistake that they've made into somebody else scamming them.
Hmm.
And so I always tell people, you think of the Better Business Bureau as a place to find out about, you know, the bad companies. Well, one of the things we quickly learn is that consumers need to be educated as well, because they make some bad decisions, and it's sometimes too late to help them.
My guest this morning is Chris Coleman. He is the president of the Iowa chapter of the Better Business Bureau on 1350 KRNT. Chris, I know you have a tremendous number of resources for business owners as part of their membership into the Better Business Bureau. Business owners listen to this show this morning. How do they get those resources? How do they become members? Talk about the process.
Well, first off, we always tell people that the BBB is by invitation only. We have a lot of companies out there that don't have a very good reputation, and they'd like to borrow our good reputation, you know, by co-branding with us, using our logo, saying they're affiliated with us. That's why we're real exclusive in the companies that we allow to be members. I told you we had about 15,000 companies that we have reports on in Iowa, but only about 3,000 of them are currently members, accredited businesses of the BBB.
Wow.
And only about 6,000 more even qualify, because in our system, you have to have at least a B grade for us even to go through a background check and looking at things. So if a company is interested, we usually make sure their file is updated, kind of see what impact previous complaints or issues have had against them, how their advertising looks, and then we conduct a background. We work with the Attorney General, the court system. We work with the government agencies that oversee licensing. We talk to local governments if it's a business that requires any kind of local approval or license. And we do a background check to make sure that this is a company that we think has earned accreditation. And then we go through you know, the process of helping them learn how to, you know, the word I use is kind of co-brand with the BBB. How can they use that designation as an accredited business of the Better Business Bureau to promote their business and grow it? And companies all over the state are finding great ways to try and show people that being a member of the Better Business Bureau has meaning, its significance. And we talk to customers every day that have selected who they're going to have do work at their home, who they're going to hire as a financial planner, what store they're going to go support because of their BBB accreditation and their rating through us. Anybody can contact us, and I hope I have a chance, and it's okay, I'll give our number and our website address. Our website address is pretty easy. It's iowa.bbb.org, and you can call us all around the state at 1-800-BBB-1600. That's 1-800-BBB-1600. And we love to talk to people and explain it. Like I said, not everybody that calls us will probably be qualified, because if we're going to let somebody use our name and our reputation, we want them to have earned it.
Well, I tell you what, Chris, for the business owners who think they have have really worked hard and have a great story, and they want to co-brand, as you say, or for the consumers who maybe have an issue and want to express it to you, you're a tremendous resource. And we're so glad, all of us, that someone is on the front lines fighting the good fight and trying to make our shopping experience, our employee experience better for all of us. And Chris, you're one of the big reasons why here in Iowa. So thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm really lucky to do my work. What you do in your company and here on the radio is really important, because, as I said, we need to educate consumers and businesses, and there can't be too many people and too many tools out doing that. The economy works better when people make smart decisions.
Chris Coleman, president of the Iowa chapter of the Better Business Bureau, joining me this morning on the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. Thank you, Chris. 8:37 now, coming up, a conversation with Kim Newman, owner of Newman Research Consulting, about focus groups. Very interesting science and art. But coming up next, you've been wondering about this. This has been burning a hole in your head. You didn't sleep last night. I've got an answer for you. Who wins the battle of customer service, Cy or Herky? We'll dig deep into that probing question next here at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. 8:39 now, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Weather forecast for the big game at Kinnick Stadium this afternoon, 2:30 kickoff, Iowa versus Iowa State. It'll be a breezy day, and I don't know, out of the north. No, out of the south. It'll just be like really windy and stuff. So they'll be blowing the football around. Yes, could be trouble for the passing game of either team. And they have to keep it on the ground, Hank. 73 for the high at Kinnick Stadium. Tonight, drop down to 56 on the way home safe and sound after the game. And then Sunday, sunny for the first day of the NFL full regular season. But listen, you yard work, outdoors, cooking, bar. It's going to be 81 tomorrow. Nicer day even than it is today. And then back to work, 79. And sunny on Monday. We're at 62 degrees now. Well, I just did a Secret Shopper review, as much as you could do a Secret Shopper review, of Iowa State University. That was posted the week before last on the unsecretshopper.com, which is the blog where you can go and read these Secret Shopper reviews. And there's tips, and I talk about a lot about the five pillars of great customer service that I teach and training, and about new clients that have come on board and sort of our process, Dahl's Foods being the latest one. We're just starting to get into some of that training actually next week, hitting it hard and heavy. So really a fascinating, a lot of fun to work with. Hundreds, literally hundreds of employees, and it's going to be very entertaining and educational. And we keep it positive. That's the key to great training. I don't know about you, but in high school, the teacher smacking you upside the head with a ruler, because you're not learning 4 + 3 = 9, then you're probably going to tune out. And of course, I didn't need that as an excuse to tune out. I was already kind of tuning out before that, but certainly it's positive reinforcement that gets us to learn anything or takes us in a place where maybe we didn't know that we could go, and we're okay with it. But ultimately, my philosophy is that we have all the answers, that we really are born with all the answers to all of this stuff. They're somewhere inside of us. And whether we go on a journey to seek those answers out, or whether someone maybe helps us along the way, along that journey of exposing the answers to our own heart and soul and mind, the key, the most fulfilling part of any part of our journey is, again, to find those answers, to discover them on our own. I mean, I compare it this way. You know, when your parents came in and told you to clean your room, you went, oh, or words to that effect. But when you were a kid and you looked at your room and you thought, you know what, it would be really, really cool if I cleaned my room. My parents would really dig that. The difference emotionally in those two things, you teaching yourself about the positive rewards of doing the right thing for someone else, even though it meant work for you, versus being told to do something, the difference between night and day is no comparison. And so I've always been a big proponent of teaching ourselves what we need to know that we already know that's inside of us. And that's part of our journey with Dahl's and all the other clients that are part of the biosphere. And again, you can read more about the clients and the process at theunsecretshopper.com. And today, Well, it's the big game. It's Iowa versus Iowa State, and they've been doing this for a long time. Rekindled the rivalry, went through a lot of great piece in the Register earlier in the week about how this whole thing almost didn't happen. Had to get the legislature involved and other people, and Bill Reichardt, of course, a famous retailer. Bill Reichardt owns the store and so forth. So anyway, we've got it back, and it's big. And over the past 10 years, they've split the series. Five games have been won by the Cyclones, five been won by the Hawkeyes. And a quick story, I was on a bus to Iowa City back in, I want to say, I don't remember, maybe it was 2002. Any event, I was the only Cyclone on a bus full of Hawkeye fans leaving the Des Moines area, driving to Kinnick to enjoy the game. And I was probably also the only one, frankly, that was sober at the time because I don't drink. And so, but that was cool. You know, hey, it's all good. I'll ride along. And we're driving down the road, and we're, as you know, anyone who's driven into Kinnick in that area during a game day, no matter who's playing the Hawkeyes, the traffic is insane. I mean, really, whoever designed Iowa City and the roads should really be taken out and just had a really stern discussion with. Yes, because it's crazy. So you're driving into the stadium, and we're hooking that down the road. The driver's late, and so we're speeding, and we're clearly speeding because we're passing cars and so forth. And apparently at some point, the bus driver must have noticed that traffic had pretty much come to a standstill in front of us. Because all of a sudden, and I'm at the back of the bus, and it's a bus full of people, the bus swerves into the median, the grass of the median. And we're driving down the center of the end. This is would be I-80, more commonly referred to. And we're, I mean, it's like, okay, are we in that big of a hurry where we have to make our own lane and stuff? One of the most terrifying journeys. If only they would have had a camera inside the bus. That may have made America's funniest home videos. So anyway, the bus driver finally got the bus under control. It actually drove back onto the road. It was amazing maneuvering. The guy should have been driving at Knoxville or something, sprint car. Anyway, that's my memory. And then the other memory I have is of Iowa State winning that game. And I got my chest painted up. I took my shirt off. I was so happy. And yeah, I was a fat guy, and I didn't care at that point because I was going home with a bus full of really pretty unhappy, you know, Iowa Hawkeye fans. And, of course, they were a little inebriated, too, so it was kind of unpleasant at times on the way home. But anyway, so the question you're wondering is, who wins the battle of customer service, Herky or Cy? This has been killing you. You want to know the answer. We're going to break it down by the five pillars of great customer service that I teach at the Biosphere. Let's start with the smile. I got to tell you, Cy wins this one hands down. Look at a picture of Cy. Look at a picture of Herky. Cy is smiling. Yeah, big teeth, and the beak is open. I didn't know birds had teeth, but okay. And Herc is looking really angry. I mean, can you imagine being waited on at Kmart by Herky? You can probably can imagine, but he's kind of snarly. So I got to tell you, Cy wins that one easily. The smile, pillar of great customer service. How about the greeting? All right, and because each mascot is silent, I would have to have a real conversation with them about, hey, you know, you need to verbally engage people. Hello. But I would say that Herky wins this, and the reason I would say is because his arms are really just more pliable, it seems to me. It seems like they're more human arms, and they seem more loving and tender. And so just based upon that, I'm going to give the check to Herc on that, on the greeting part. And then to the engagement, I got to tell you, you know, engagement is both personal and professional. We try to weigh both things there. In other words, in an engagement level of retail, sure, the employees should be knocking down the walls that exist between two people that have never met each other by getting to know them, you know. Frankly, I find both of these birds rather arrogant. They seem really kind of into themselves, and I don't see a lot of, hey, what brings you out to the game today, kind of. You know, have you ever got that sense from either Cy or Herky? So, frankly, both of them are failing on the engagement level. The thank you, I have to say this. In the old days of when Cy was a much larger bird made of the same thing that Corvettes are made out of, he wasn't very pliable. In fact, you could probably shoot him, not that you would want to, and my suspicion is the bullet kind of just probably bounced off the guy. So Cy was not very, he didn't seem very, just, I don't know, he was just, it made of concrete, basically. Back then, not a very thankful bird, very standoffish. I think he's grown in that role a little bit. And the reason I say that is because at a basketball game a year ago, I asked Cy how old he was. And Cy showed me by stomping his foot on the ground. Yes, he stomped it 14 times. So I thought, is there a 14-year-old kid? Is that a child labor law violation? Should the university be informed of this? But to me, and just stay with me on the reasoning here, that was just like a really nice little thank you to me. That's how I interpreted that. So I'm going to give the edge, a very unscientific one, I might add, to Cy. And then the follow-up. This is the most important question of all, because it's important that companies follow up with us, of course. I'm going to give that edge just because I went to Iowa State. Hey, I toured the University of Iowa out of high school. The campus is beautiful, but the traffic thing, seriously, that's got to go. And Herky needs a smile once in a while, for heaven's sake. So I'm giving the customer service edge to the Iowa State Cyclones and to Cy, and I'm going to root them on to hopefully a victory. But I'm really not going to hold my breath in that regard. I'll be watching the game, as will so many of the rest of us. So good luck. Drive safe on the way to the game, whether you're whatever you're doing this afternoon in regards to the big game in Kinnick Stadium. Coming up, Kim Newman, owner of Newman Research Consulting, will talk about focus groups. Very interesting science, as well as an art. We'll get the lowdown from her coming up right here at the Unsecret Shopper radio show on 1350 KRNT. Back to the Unsecret Shopper radio show we go. 1350 KRNT 851. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. All details of what we talk about on the radio show can also be found at the blog website as well, and theunsecretshopper.com. My name is Johnny Wright, president of the Biosphere, host of the show this morning. And speaking of the bus driving off there, I think that last bit just sort of drove right off. The bus sort of left the road there. Yes, yes. Well, Kim Newman's going to keep us on track. She is the owner of Newman Research Consulting, and she has been involved in research for many, many years with Meredith and the Des Moines Register, and just a very smart person, and also deeply involved in the activity of focus groups, which is a very interesting science as well as an art. She joins us this morning. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Johnny. How are you?
I'm fantastic, thank you. And Kim, I was looking at your LinkedIn profile, and you have done a lot in your life. You have worked for Meredith, huge corporations, the Des Moines Register. How did all of that come into your company, Newman Research Consulting? Tell me a little bit about that journey.
Okay, well, I do have a pretty depth and breadth of research experience working for corporations, mainly on the client side. And I was just time to strike out on my own, and I think mainly because I have so much experience that I can contribute to companies. So rather than, especially with the economy as it is, there aren't a lot of positions in Des Moines that would really capitalize on my experience. So I just decided that I was going to take all the experience that I had and start, you know, offering it up to Des Moines-based clients.
Absolutely. And I understand you did a little bit in, even, I don't know if you started San Fran, but with Levi Strauss, did some research. And let's, before we talk about that, let's establish what that research has consisted of over these years.
Okay. Well, lots of different types of research. Research that was, you know, research can be defined lots of different ways. There's primary research, there's secondary research.
For dumb schleps like me, right brain me and tell me, when we are we talking about, are we picking up the phone, Q&A-ing customers? Are we meeting them at the entryways to Safeway and say, hey, well, how do you feel about the pasta?
There's all of that. I would say, like, my background is mainly in quantitative research, which is when you are doing very scientifically based research so that you can actually assign numbers to it and you're measuring. So that would be done, you know, when I first started doing research, it was done with the phone and mail. And, of course, as, you know, the Internet age has come upon us, more and more research is being conducted on the Internet. So I've worked on all those types of projects, as well as intercept studies where sometimes we would go into a Home Depot store, for example, and find customers, you know, within the store. So all of that type of research is research that is called primary research because it's being created. You're doing it with your customers. You're not using census data or research data that's already has already been collected. And then beyond quantitative research, there's also what's called qualitative research, and that's, I think, most people are probably more familiar with qualitative research, which involves focus groups, and there's all kinds of spin-offs to focus groups with mini groups, triads, dyads, one-on-one, in-depth interviews. Focus groups can be conducted in person. They can be, which is the traditional way.
Sure.
As time has gone on, now some are being conducted over the internet. Sometimes they're conducted over the phone, not too much. And it always comes back to what your objective is. What are you trying to accomplish? What decisions are you going to make, you know, with the research? You know, how are you going to use the findings? And that's really what determines what type of research you do, whether it's qualitative, whether it's quantitative. And then even within the technique, again, the objectives are usually are driving, you know, how you go about it.
And there's a lot of bias. And I know that in some circles, focus groups have really kind of fallen on, they kind of got a bad rep, and one person in a focus group can sort of, it's like a jury pool that a person who particularly dominates it or has a particularly, who is particularly communicative about their viewpoint can sway groups. And so some of the research, so I've read, you tell me now if I'm drinking Drano on this, but some of the research is that it's smaller groups now. It's even more one-on-one. They're thinking that that kind of information actually has more power and punch than some of the larger sorts of focus groups. Is that accurate or no?
Again, I think it all depends on what you're trying to accomplish. For a new product situation where you're really trying to generate lots of ideas, sometimes that group interaction is very valuable. People can play on that. Sometimes if it is, let's just say the subject matter is somewhat sensitive, in a situation like that, you might be better off to do a one-on-one interview. Also, with the smaller group settings, you do get a chance to get more in-depth feedback.
Sure.
You know, you get the full story.
Right.
If you've got 10 people in a group for 2 hours, you know, do the math, you know, you're not going to get as much in-depth information from any given person as you would in a smaller group setting. But with a good moderator, it is true that, you know, sometimes you can have an opinion leader in a focus group, but there's lots of good tactics that a skilled moderator can do to limit the interaction of that person. And if the person really does become disruptive, I've never had to do this before, but I would, you know, wouldn't be beyond me to throw them out because I consider it valuable real estate. But that gets back to the recruiting part, you know, how you set up the recruitment in terms of what questions you ask and who, you know, your sample source, that is also key in getting the right people in the group.
Well, let's talk about, Kim, let's assume for a minute it's Johnny's, you know, I'll just use my own company. Now, I want to use something more interesting than the bias here. How about Johnny's Bagels? I've got a bagel shop, all right? And I know where I'm going to go with it. It's even established. It's open, and it's been open for a little while. But I want to get a sense of how my customers feel about our customer service, the taste of our bagels, everything else. And I go to Kim, and I say, Kim, I need a focus group. I need to get a sense of this. Tell me a little bit about the Q&A. Where would we go?
Okay. Well, I would ask you, you know, what your objectives are. Basically, what are you trying to accomplish?
I want to sell more bagels.
You want to sell more bagels. Okay. So in that case, that would tell me, I would also ask you, okay, so if you want to sell more bagels, you need to learn, that would define who we would talk to in the research.
So my audience is women 30 to 50.
Okay.
That's who I think my target demo is.
Then we would, you know, in that case, the next question I would ask you would be, are you trying to measure something with your customers, or are you really trying to just explore, you know, their feelings and attitudes and thought processes and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I want to know how they feel when they come into my place, how the ambiance, the music I'm playing, the way it smells, how they feel about that when they come in. I want to know how they feel about when they're eating one of my bagels, how they feel about the way my employees interact with them, how they feel when they leave.
Okay.
Yeah, all about feelings. Yeah.
Well, you'll hear more. You can learn more about Kim Newman and Newman Research Consulting. We had to cut our interview short this morning because of a lack of time. Go online, Google search Newman Research Consulting. Kim Newman, she is a smart, smart girl. And I appreciate her being on the program this morning. Iowa versus Iowa State. Enjoy the game, everybody. See ya.